You know, as things happen, it's amazing how God just put things together. My introduction to this sermon, when I was doing that, somebody sent me a video, and it confirmed the introduction of this sermon. I'll give you the introduction. I played this video, but I want you to listen to what it has to say. You know, it's important for you to know. Brethren, let me plead with you. I want to kneel down and beg you. Please, take the word of God seriously. This world is getting worse. It's getting worse. Your answer is God's word. This world is not going to be any better. Don't deceive yourself. There are strange diseases we don't know that are coming up. Before you finish with this one, there's another one somewhere. Economies are crumbling. They say there is job creation. A lot of millions of graduates have no job. When they talk about this job creation and things, it's just that people are moving from one job to what? A lot of people have no job. Check it for yourself. And some people who have graduated are taking jobs less than what they qualify for. Economies are really country where we came from, the exchange rate is 300 and something naira to $1 now. 400 and something to £1. You wonder how people survive. And our economy is import-oriented economy. Most of the third world economies is import-oriented economy. We have no industries. We have no small-scale industries, which is the engine of any economy. We don't have it. But you know, people joke with this thing. They think you don't come to church for God. I keep saying, look, if you come to Bible studies, you didn't do God a favor at all. You did yourself what? Favor. Job said, is it God that you are doing things for? He said, no. He said, the person that is wise is doing it for himself. He said, it's not God. God came to Joshua. He said, do you want to prosper in this world? He said, these things I'm telling you, this word I'm telling you, don't let depart from what? Yes. He said, keep meditating on it. Put it in your heart. He said, then it will make you to be prosperous in all your endeavors. And Psalm 1 says, the man that keeps the word of God in his heart, the man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, which is lies. He said, he will be like a tree that is planted by the waters. Whatever he does, let me tell you people, if I didn't learn the principle of faith, I would have died. Oh my God, I would not be here. I'm not telling you, I faced a lot of demonic challenges, and that word of God, I stood on it, I saw incredible victory. Amen. If not for the word of God, I'm telling you, this is God, church. I would not be alive here. I'm breathing here today, standing alive today, standing strong today. Because growing up as a Christian, God taught me that faith is what you use to overcome. And I began to build my faith in the word of God. I studied and read it. I had nobody teaching me what I'm teaching you today. Nobody. Nobody. I was an orphan. But God taught me himself and connected me to somebody who understood faith. And this week, because I had something happen to me. I was praying. All of a sudden, I started singing about somebody dying. Every time I sing this song, they used to bury somebody. Somebody I know has died. It hasn't failed. Then I said, who is this? Who is this? All of a sudden, my body went, bug, 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 bug. Immediately I knew the person. And there's somebody, all of you know. I knew the person immediately. Ah, my spirit sank. You know, and then I went and sat and I said, Lord, you need to help me. But I really felt so bad. I said, you need to help me. And I started singing this song that says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. So I was singing it, sitting there, and God spoke to me. He said, son, I will help you. He said, I will uphold you. He said, your job is equip them with the word. Their job is to do the work of the ministry. He said, if they refuse to accept what you teach them, it's not your business. It's not your business. He said, Bible studies, we'll see them. Sunday school, we'll see them. You teach, they come to church once in a while. He said, how would they have victory? He said, it's not your business. You've done what you're supposed to do. He said, I brought you here. I will strengthen you. I will help you. He said, I made you a promise. I will not fail you. He said, your ministry is to equip the people with my word. If I give you a tool, if you don't use it, is it my fault? It's your fault. It's your fault. Mark 6. Verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. This is Jesus our Lord. His disciples what? Followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? You see, they said, this sermon is so powerful. We've never had anything like this. From where did he get this stuff? This is incredible. Go down to verse 5. And he could there do what? Come on, church. What? Why? Save that he laid hands what? Upon a few sick folks. And in other words, he laid hands on them. Only few people got him. He couldn't heal them. Jesus could not heal them. And I keep asking people, is he not the same Jesus that is healing today? If he couldn't heal them then, he will not heal you today if you do what they did. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and what? And he could there do no mighty work. Save he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. Very few. And then the reason came, verse 6. Come on now, verse 6. Okay, let me read it here. Since they don't have it there. I have it here. And he marveled. Everybody say he marveled. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he wondered because of their unbelief. And he was going around the villages in circle teaching. He marveled. He marveled. They couldn't believe what he was teaching them. They could not accept what he was teaching them. He marveled. He marveled. He said, what? Luke chapter 5, 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man. Whoa. In that verse 17, he said, what was present to heal them? Let's read 17 again, please. Come on, back up. 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, your 17 is truncated. And it came to pass on a certain day, on a certain day, as he was teaching, it is the word that made the power available. Watch Jesus. He will always teach. He will always teach because your faith has to come by hearing the word. People think that Jesus will come and be doing miracles everywhere because the Son of God. No. He operated as a man. He was a man. He had to be anointed of the Holy Spirit. He had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had to eat. He had to be hungry. He was a man. Stop. This touches the anointing of God. You people know this is church. Don't do this. We're not. Come on. When we're preaching here, you don't want this kind of thing. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to what? Heal them. It was there to heal them. Quit means some of them were sick. But did they get healed? They didn't get healed. The power was there. The word was there. Because no word of God is devoid of power. The power was present to heal them. It was there. for the purpose of healing them. It was there. That God touches you, that you fall under the anointing, doesn't mean you'll be healed. No, the power is present. It can touch you. It can touch you. It can touch you. It can shake you. It can raise you up and you'll not be healed. It was present to heal them. It was there. Not one of them was healed. Not one. You know who was healed? Somebody came from outside. It's always happening like that. And behold, 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in. These guys were not even there. They just came from outside. From outside. And to lay him before him. 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. 20. And when he saw their what? Faith. God needs to see your faith. It's your faith that qualifies you. The power is present, but he didn't see their faith. He didn't see any faith in them. So the power was there and they were sick. They went home sick. But these guys came and Jesus said, wow, these guys have faith. He said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven. There is something somebody sent me. Can we play that clip now, please? Well, this English, I don't know if it's typical black American English. So I don't know if you can understand it, but I'm sure you will. Just try. If you don't, I will interpret it after. If I don't have it, I'll go ahead and have something else to read. Why is it so big, Kana? All right, why they are getting ready? Let me read this to you, please. I want you to listen to this. Listen to this, please. Listen. I'm led by God to let others know, especially those who are seeking divine healing, how very miraculously I was cured after being ill for 4 years and 9 months. I was a swing, C-E-W-I-N-G. How do you pronounce that? C-E-W? C-S? S-E-W-I-N-G. Is it sewing or sewing? Okay, sewing. If it's sewing, what is S-O-W? S-E-W, what is it? Is this sewing? I'll believe it because we are citizens, you know what I mean? We're Americans, give me five. Don't worry about all these immigrants that came from all my places, came from Oka, Ameri, and all places like that. So he said, I was a sewing machine operator by trade. Consequently, my work was very heavy, especially so when the war broke out and I had to do soldiers' coats, tents, etc. But one day I collapsed while at work. I had to be taken to hospital. 2 weeks later, I had a very bad hemorrhage of the lungs. And for two years, I lay in my own home in Kennington, having a nurse daily to attend to me, and the doctor coming 3 times a week. During this time, the doctor tried to get me into a hospital or sanatorium, but admission was not obtainable, as by this time I had become a bedridden case. So then I began to lose all use of my limbs and endured dreadful pain in my spine. The doctor found that the disease had traveled to the spine, and I was put under x-rays to make sure, and to my great sorrow, it was found to be true. The pain became so great that my husband asked the doctor to try and get me away, and the only place that was available was the home of incurables. You know what they call it today? Hospice. So they took him there. Let me go down. In August that year, she left the hospital in an apparent dying condition, her relatives yielding to her wishes to be at home. So they brought him from hospice back to the house because he said, let me die in my house. wishes to be at home, though those in charge of the institution warn them that she will probably die on her way there. That's on her way home. However, she did not die, but lived to declare the wonderful words of God. When in awful agony and almost departing this life, the Lord appeared to her in a most wonderful vision. And she said, it was as though the roof lifted and the most wonderful beam of life shone into my room. Then I saw the Lord in all his glory. Somebody shout hallelujah. And this is what he said. Fear not thou, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. Then I felt his touch on my arm and heard his voice saying, these are my words. Listen. These are my words. Take them, believe them, act upon them. See the structure he gave her? These are what? He said, number one, do what? Take them. Accept it. That it is true. Believe them. And then act on them. Then he gave me the verses of James 5, 14 to 15. That's, you know, if any man is sick, let him call upon the elders. So anointing with oil. So in response to that, brethren came, gathered in my room, and after prayer reading and reading of that word, carried out anointing with oil according to James 5, 14 to 15, that the Lord has instructed us to do. Now, after that, Jesus again visited her in glory. Listen to this. Remember, the Lord touched her, but she was not healed. She saw the Lord. He touched her, but still she was still the same. Now, the Lord came back again to show her why she's like that. Listen to this. He says, Jesus again visited her in glory. She felt his hand on her hand. Her head, her limbs were straightened out, and she felt a tingling starting at her toe and reaching to her fingertips. The Lord spoke, saying, arise and get up. She said, oh Lord, I cannot. The Lord came twice, touched her again, and said, you are not acting on the word. Get up. He said, I cannot. Why do you think she said she cannot? She's waiting to see before she believes. And listen to this. Oh Lord, I cannot. He spoke the second time, arise, get up now or never. Now or never. Act on the word now. The power is there to heal you. Do it. Act on the word now or never. Never. You see, that touching wasn't enough. If that touching was enough, she would have known. But she needed to act on the word by faith. In spite of seeing the Lord himself. That's what happened in Mark chapter 6. Jesus was laying hands on them. They were not healed. They were not here. Telling long stories. Well, praise the Lord. And then she now, I lost it. Well, the story is that when the Lord told her that now, she jumped up and was perfectly healed. Amen. The healing took place when she jumped up. Not before. He said, God will send you a package, but it's only on one street. Faith Street. He said, if you go to this pity party street, the package will pass you what? But you go to this street that says, I'm not worth it. He said, your package will what? And you saw that package keep passing. And he said, but if you stay on Faith Street, because that's where it is, then it will come. But he said, if you leave Faith Street, your package will drop and then they will pull return to sender. That's what he was saying. I got this after I finished this sermon. I said, God, this is awesome because it illustrates what I've been telling people. You have to stay on faith, please. Brethren, there is no other way out. There is no other way out. Your healing is here. Your healing is what? Here. I'm not telling you, I'm telling you what I know. Your healing is what? Here. The power to heal you is present. But all you need to do is to reach out and say, it's mine. And then you act on it, and it will work for you. Amen. I said amen. Now, let's continue. Did you get what I'm saying? Let's continue. So now, last Sunday I was talking to you about the Jubilee, what the Jubilee is. And I need to go back a little bit to some background preaching here and come back to what the Jubilee is, and then come back to what a Jubilee is, and then come back to faith back again, because that's the only way you can enjoy your Jubilee. You know, in there are some things that Old Testament saints knew, they took advantage of, and we New Testament saints don't know about them. Or we think it's not important. I don't know how it comes that those people will listen to God and believe God. You know, they knew something about atonement. They knew exactly that it works, because God showed it to them. You know, when they were in Israel, Egypt was under divine judgment. There was divine judgment on Egypt. And God came to them and said, this judgment will affect you because you are in this country, but I'm going to show you how to stay it. It won't touch you. He said, I want you to do a sacrifice, an atonement for sin. Put the blood on your what? Doorpost. Judgment is coming. Put it on your doorpost. He said, when you put it on your doorpost, when that judgment comes and sees the blood, it will what? Pass away. Nothing will stop that judgment except that blood. That was the secret that God was showing Israel. And not only did the blood stop the plague, brethren, sickness is a plague. Not only did the blood stop it, God unleashed favor on them. Because you see, when you stop the reason for the judgment, there's no more judgment. What you now have is favor. You get what I'm saying? So the blood, not only did it stop the plague, but it brought divine favor upon Israel. And Israel went out and started asking for things, and the Egyptians could not stop giving them. Don't forget that they were under judgment, but these people were not because of the blood. So that whenever there is atonement for blood, the plague is stopped, judgment is stopped, and what comes upon you? Come on, talk to me. What comes upon you? Come on, you need to convince yourself. What comes upon you? Favor! Tell your neighbor what I said. Favor! Shout it to your neighbor, come on. Come on, shout it to your neighbor one more time. We got to get this thing out. We got to give this thing out. We got to tell people. The devil says, don't tell them, we tell them. Once there is blood of an atonement, brethren, the plague stops. Judgment stops. Favor comes. And here was Israel again. Listen, this is amazing. This is truly amazing. Do you remember David? When David counted Israel, then judgment of God came. And then 70,000 died. Listen to me. You know, and the angel of the Lord said to Gad, the prophet, he said, you go tell David, he needs the blood of an atonement. He said, tell him to buy a land that belongs to somebody and do a sacrifice right there. He said, if he doesn't. So David went and got the land. It's okay. David went and got the land. Are you getting my point? And immediately he finished that blood sacrifice. Bam! The Lord said to the angel, put your sword back into the sheath. It's over. That was the end. We sing about the blood, we don't know what it does. He said, put it back into the sheath. It's over. Before then, the angel still had the knife. It wasn't done. God said, hey, hold it. Give him a chance. See what he... Then the angel said, you need to do sacrifice. What is wrong with you, David? This is not going to stop. There's judgment on you. And then you remember in Numbers, let's read this one, Numbers 16:42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked down the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, oh Jesus, thank you, Lord. Whoa, Rabba Saka, can we all rise up, please? The power of God is here to heal. Come, Parako Pushka. Numbers 16:42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they took. Okay. That they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, a cloud covered it. God came down and the glory of the Lord appeared. Why did God come? Verse 43. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, I didn't come to bless them. No, I came to bring judgment. Because they were insulting my servants. And you don't try that. Don't let the devil maneuver you into doing that. It brings trouble. My wife and I saw it firsthand. Verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation right now, that I may consume them as a moment, in a moment. And they fell on their faces, 46. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put an incense. Go quickly, quickly unto the congregation and make what? An atonement. There's judgment here. The only thing that will stop it is the blood. Nothing will stop this thing. God said, I'm here. He said, I'm going to consume them. And Moses said, wow, quickly make an atonement for them. For there is what? There is what? Wrath gone out from the Lord and the plague has begun. So judgment on them. What's the next verse? And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, made an atonement for the people, 48. And he stood, what? Between the dead and the living. And what happened immediately? The plague was stopped. Read Old Testament. These people knew something we don't understand. The plague stopped. You know how many people died that day? You know how many people? 14,700 that had died that day. What stopped it? The blood. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so, let me show you 1 Chronicles 21, 18. 1 Chronicles 21, 18. Then the angel of the Lord told God to instruct David to go up and build an altar to the Lord and on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusites. And in verse 26, David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. That's an atonement. And when David prayed, the Lord answered him by sending fire from heaven to burn up the offering on the altar. Then the Lord spoke to the angel now and said, what did he say to him? Verse 27. What did he say to him, verse 27? Why does it take your time to do this thing? Okay, let me tell you. Then the Lord spoke to the angel who put the sword back into its what? Yeah. And the Lord commanded the angel. And he put his sword again into the sheath thereof. That was the end of it. That blood. Everybody said the blood. And when Israel came, you know, the Old Testament is a shadow. It's a type of the new. The Old Testament was to illustrate to us the real one, which is Christ himself. The Old Testament was not the real. It's kind of a shadow. I say, hey, this is how the real looks. Your shadow is not you. I don't see anybody coming to see you, and he saw your shadow, he say, yeah, I've been checking out. It's you I want to talk to. Then the head is not correct. Shadow is not you. It brings you a reflection, but that's not you. The Old Testament is the shadow. The real is Christ. The Old Testament was a demonstration physically of what Jesus was coming to accomplish in the realm we don't see, in the spiritual realm. You understand? They say, amen. That's why I say these are carnal ordinances. It is physical stuff. There is nothing spiritual about the Old Testament. Their priesthood was man, tabernacle made by men, all that made by men. But when Jesus came, the spiritual state in. Now the hand of God showed up. He was now building the tabernacle, not made by men. Not by hands of men. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. So the Jubilee was to illustrate to us the real. And so God comes to Israel and said to Israel, listen, every 7 years, I want you to have the seventh year, you don't cultivate nothing. They call it the Sabbath year. Rest. Don't do anything. Leave your land fallow, which is a good agricultural practice because it helps your land to rejuvenate. Amen. And then, as I told you last Sunday, 7 years. Then another 7 years. How many years now? And says every 7 years, the seventh year is a Sabbath year. Don't cultivate nothing. So 2 years, two groups of 7 years is 14, right? Seven groups of 7 years is what? Huh? You know, some of you asked, you are looking, hiding your face from me. I asked seven groups of 7 years. It's seven times seven. What is it? I'm not looking at you, so you don't start hiding your face. When your son doesn't do well, you beat him up. Now I'm asking seven times seven. You are reading your Bible. 49. And the Lord said to them, on the 49th year, 49th, after that 49th, the 50th one, will be to you a jubilee. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, you see what happens on that jubilee year? Every slave must be what? Set free. He said, everything people you have that belongs to people must be restored. Every mortgage fully paid. You leave them alone. Give them their title and that's it. Bank of America, you better hear this now. They're not hearing me. God said to them, and I'm going to unleash my favor on you. What was God trying to illustrate? He was trying to show us the era of Jesus. So, and how they will do that is that they will blow a trumpet announcing it, that the year of Jubilee has started. And immediately it starts, the slaves are packing their things. You don't hold them. Don't go home. And people owe you, the debt is fully paid. You don't bother them no more. Man, I wish I lived then. Man, can they bring it back today? I need to talk to Bank of America for real. Now, what is the significance? And God said to them, you don't announce the Jubilee. Listen, church, listen. Don't announce it until you have done an atonement. You don't. He said, when you have done this atonement sacrifice, in the evening after the sacrifice, take your trumpet now and do what? And announce it. This release and all these things is coming because of divine forgiveness. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. It's coming because of divine mercy that is being poured upon them because the blood stays the judgment. I mean, if you get what I'm saying. You don't have a seat. It's okay, you can stand if you want to. That's okay. You look like a CIA. That's okay. Don't worry. I joke a lot here. That's all right. We love you a lot. You're welcome. Praise the Lord. Did you follow me up to now? You follow me up to now? So Leviticus 25:9, God said, don't make the announcement yet until the blood has been what? Shed. Now you fast forward to New Testament and Jesus comes. Somebody say, Jesus has come. And before he went to the cross, he announced our jubilee for us. Somebody went to him and said, how many times will my brother, that was Peter, my brother sin against me, I will what? He said to him, I say not seven times, but 70 times seven. Alluding to the jubilee. In the jubilee was 49 years. In the New Testament, 490 times of sin will be forgiven in a day. But catch it. You got what he's saying? He said, you are talking of seven times? He said, no. In this year of Jubilee, even 490 sins will be forgiven what? In a day. Because this is the year of Jubilee. But that was not the announcement, though. The announcement was in Luke 4:16. When he came to the village of Nazareth, and it's amazing, in his own hometown, village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. 17. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is what? Upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be what? Did you see the Jubilee being announced? Brethren, and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come." Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. The time of the Lord's favor has come. Listen, teach them. They didn't say it well. The time of the Lord's favor has come. Turn and look at them. Point to them and say, "The time of the Lord's favor has come." I tell them. I want you to look this side. Oh, yeah. Point to them and tell them exactly. The time of the Lord's favor. Now talk to yourself. I say, "The time of the Lord's favor has come." He says, "This is your jubilee I'm announcing." But remember that the jubilee doesn't start until the atom. That's why the gospel is the good news. You go and announce freedom to people. You go and announce their jubilee for them. And now, Jesus Christ himself closed the book. He closed the book. And he didn't say anything. He went and sat down. How do you come to church, read scripture, and sit down? Because the purpose of that thing was just to announce it, not to teach it. He didn't stand up to preach. He was a rabbi. He could teach, but he didn't teach. He simply announced and said, just that was all he was supposed to do, to announce it. And then as they were looking at him, he said, "You guys are surprised I'm not preaching?" He said, "No. This day, this scripture is fulfilled," what? "In your ears. I've announced it. That's all I'm supposed to do. I've blown it. Oh, this is happening. I'm done." Then they waited for the day of atonement. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then look at 1 John 2:2. 1 John 2:2. "And he," that same Jesus himself, "is the propitiation," the atoning sacrifice. The atoning sacrifice. Everybody say the atoning sacrifice. The atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for us alone, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 Timothy 2:5. Remember that Moses said to Aaron, "Quickly, go and do this sacrifice." And he ran in between the living and the dead. Here Jesus running between us and divine judgment and death. He ran in. That's why the Bible describes him as the intercessor. Ego, because we were all dead in sin and trespasses. The Bible says we were children of wrath. The wrath of God was upon us. It was upon us. Judgment was upon us. That's what the Bible says. We are dead in sin and trespasses. Spiritual death had taken over. There are a bunch of dead people. And so look at 1 Timothy 2:5. I'm reading New Living Translation. "For there is only one God and one" what? "Mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, and that man is" who? "Christ Jesus." It's only him that came between humanity and divine judgment. Only him. Why? He is the atoning sacrifice himself. He is the atoning sacrifice himself. He is. "Behold the Lamb of God. It is his blood that stayed the judgment of God." When that blood was shed, that was it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he rose from the dead, he said, "Brethren, you can now go and announce the gospel. Announce to the whole world that their sins are..." This is divine favor. And when Paul had issues, Paul went to God, and God said to Paul, I have forgotten something. My grace is what? My favor is unleashed on you. Take care of that. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Are you following me? Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God. Can somebody say amen to that? All praise to God. Why? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Who has going to bless us? Who has with what and what? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly place, in heavenly realm, because we are united with Christ because of him. Because of the atoning sacrifice. The favor of God is upon us. He has blessed you. He has blessed you. He has blessed you. He has blessed you. And part of the blessing is that he has taken care of the thing that oppresses your life. He made a public show of them. He defeated all of them. All of them. You say, you can answer me without fear. This year, Jubilee. Every oppressed person must be set free. Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 1:6. I want you to, if you read Ephesians 1:6, please don't jump up and dance. We are not there yet. It can excite you. You want to jump up and dance a little bit. Just hold yourself. Ephesians 1:6. Let's go. Let's go. So, we praise God for the glorious grace he has what? Poured. He has what? Poured. He has what? Poured. Come on, church. He has what? Poured. Come on, church. It has what? Poured. What is pouring? Wah! They said, this is that which was prophesied by what prophet? No. Joel. He said, I will pour. God is pouring in these days, brethren. He is what? Pouring. He said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. I am pouring blessings out. I am pouring healing out. I am pouring it out on humanity. Who has believed our report? That's the gospel. That's the good news. That is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the good news, brethren, I bring to you. The mercy of God is being poured upon you. So let's finish it. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has what? Poured out on us who belong to his dear son, Jesus Christ. Verse 7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and also, does it sound like Jubilee? Come on, church, does it sound like Jubilee? Come on, church, does it sound like Jubilee? Are you in your Jubilee? Shout hallelujah! He said with his blood, that blood was shed. He has purchased your freedom. Because in the day of freedom, the Jubilee, every oppressed person must be set free. Jesus said, I purchased it for you. It's your Jubilee. You should be free of sickness, free of demonic oppression. Free, free, free. For the Son that set you free, you shall be free indeed. This is the good news. The power of God is here to perform it for those who believe. How many of us are free? I'm free. Because of the favor of God. The blood has been shed. He has run between the living and the dead. The plague has stopped. Oh, you don't come here and tell me there's a native doctor in my village. Rubbish. No. Both him and his gang, you are free. Amen. Because Christ has purchased your what? Freedom from their master, the devil. What God did physically in Israel, Jesus did spiritually for us. Amen. Ephesians 2:4. But God is so rich in mercy. You see that? He's so rich, what? And he loved us so much. Verse 5. That even though we were dead because of us, you see, the dead, we were dead. The plague of sin. The plague of sin killed. For the soul that sinned, there was a plague of sin there. Plague of sin killed us. But he gave us life. When he raised, not before. When he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been now saved. That's part of his favor. When Jesus, the sacrifice was made and Jesus finished the work, God says the atonement is done. The Bible said that Jesus was proved to be the Son of God by his resurrection. When he rose from the dead, God says, instead of death now, you have life. Man, if you have life, don't you have healing? Come on now. Don't you have healing? So when symptoms come, don't you think you should announce to them your jubilee? I say, no, it don't happen here. I have my jubilee. Before I didn't know, but now I know. And you shall know the truth. Yes, that's why it works. You open your mouth and declare your jubilee to them. Say, this thing, you don't stay here. No. This is my year of jubilee. And how about the blood? You can't forget the blood. No, you can't. I don't forget once I had a revelation that one spirit came and took one of my children. And I was seeing it. And I went after the spirit. I was mad. And when I got there, he held the boy like this. Was trying to dodge. And I said to him, it's not understand why that thing I said did what it did. I said to him, you have forgotten him. He said, who? I said, how can you forget? The one that dealt with you on the cross. He shed his blood. I said, you know what he said? You don't know what you did now. You don't know what you did. Take your son. You see, the jubilee. I announced to him that the blood stands between you and my children. You give my children. He said, you don't know what you did now. You don't know what you did now. Take your son. He was terrified. Real story. His eyes went, whoa. You don't know what you did now. Take your son. I took my son. Because Jesus has paid for it. And I demanded it. Because I believed in the testimony of God. Who has believed our what? Report. I believe that my freedom has been purchased and you don't touch it at all. You give my blood. Somebody will come out and say, brother, let's pray. I saw the devil in the night. And they begin all these rituals and useless and it's a pity what people do call it Christianity. There is nothing more distant like Christianity. It has an order. God is a God of what? God. There's no confusion. We are not native doctors. We don't do turn to the right four times. The thing that did the job is the blood. It's not you're turning to the right or turning to the left. I'll do this seven times. It's all nonsense, useless. They didn't purchase it. The blood did. The blood did. The blood did. The blood did it. Whether you shouted name 10 times or 20 times, he didn't do it. It was the blood. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Get back to the gospel. Get back to putting your faith in Jesus and the sacrifice and the cross. Whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. It's not your seven times. It's not your turning around. It is not your fasting. None of them did that. All the miracles in Egypt could not save them until the blood was shed. Nothing compares with the blood because therein is the life of God. Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. So, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead, he brought us life. 6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. And seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. See where we are? Seated with Jesus. Sicknesses don't come there. Where we are, they don't come there. 7. So God can now, can we read 7 together? So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his what? Grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who united with Christ. Say, God wants to point to you and say, you want to see how gracious I am? Look at how healthy he is. You want to see how merciful I am? You know, he was dead in sin. He was a child of the devil, but now he's my son. You know, he was under the curse. See how I've unleashed blessings on him. Look at my mercy. Look at my kindness. Why is God pointing that out? So that those who don't know will what? Come. Brethren, we are in God. This is your jubilee. Amen. See, it's our jubilee, right? You know we're pharmacists, right? Yeah. If it's your jubilee, shout hallelujah. You know the Isaiah 53 is a redemption chapter where the Holy Spirit tells us about what Jesus really achieved. One of them is in verse Isaiah 53, verse 4. And I'm going to read it in a Young Literal Translation. Dr. Young was a translator of the Bible many years back. He knew 33 languages. He was an expert in translation. So he said that Isaiah 5:4 is about sickness. And he translated it like that. Young Literal Translation. You go home, check it out. It's Isaiah 5:53 verse 4. Young Translation. You have it. Wow, awesome. Let's read it together. I want to go. Surely our sicknesses he had what? Surely our sicknesses he had what? And our pain he had carried them. The Holy Spirit is looking at you and says, surely now he bore your sicknesses. He carried your pains. So you don't have to carry them. Surely. Surely. It's not whether he will or whether he will not. No, surely. What? Because this is your jubilee. You, everything that brings oppression, he took it away from you. He says, surely. The atonement has been done. The blood is shed. So he took away your oppression. He carried it away. As I'm talking to you, God will stand here and look you in the eye and say, surely, I took away your sickness. And I carried your pain. And he asked the question, then who has believed what I'm saying? Because you see, two can work together. Now, do you remember that the Bible said the power of God was there to heal them? They were not healed. But the Bible said when Jesus saw their faith. Now, how do you show God your faith? You got to show God that you believe this thing now. Because the Bible said, declare that and you are justified. You got to believe. You got to believe. Jesus said to him, even though Jesus touched that woman, she was still there. And Jesus said, you have to act now or never. Your acting is what shows me that you believe that I'm your healer. You got to show me. We got to work in agreement. This is not only me. You got to be partner with me. People think they sit down there, they think it's the anointing on the man. If it's anointed, I'll get healed. It's a lie. Because if it's by anointing, who is more anointed than Jesus? I'm asking you. He's the anointing himself. The Bible says he was anointed without limit, but he couldn't heal them. He could not heal them. So it's not the anointing. No. It's your faith. 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 If Jesus said, only believe now, I will see the glory being revealed to you. And that's what Isaiah said. Who shall believe this report? How do I show God that I believe? What do I do? And God will say, yeah, I see your faith. I see your faith. I see it. Now rise up and what do I do? There's a statement I want to read to us here. Truth reveals itself more clearly through actions than it does through words. Do we agree? Truth reveals itself more clearly through what? Actions than it does through words. Now, if I come to Brother Muhammad, as I said to Brother Muhammad, Brother Muhammad, you know I love you a lot. You know that's what, right? Come on now. But if it is true, the thing that will reveal it is my action. Yeah. Yeah, Chris, say dip your hand in your pocket. Sometimes dipping hand in my pocket is manipulation too. If I said to Muhammad, I love you a lot, my brother, wow. And Muhammad is in pain. I didn't even call him. What is my action saying? I don't care about it. Do I really love him? You see, all these things we sing in church, quote Bible everywhere, even preach it. The only thing that authenticates it is your action. If what you say does not agree with what you do, the Bible calls it hypocrisy. And the Bible says no hypocrite stands before God. Because that's lie, that's deceit, that's not true. Are you following my point? By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. God says, okay, I hear your word, but I want to see your faith. Let me see your action that proves that what you are saying is true. Jesus said to that woman, rise now or never. I have to see your action. Rise now. Get up now. You are healed now. Get up, woman, or never. Never. And watch it every single time. Jesus will hear somebody say, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Take up your mat. Come on, come on. Act on it now. You believe you're okay. Come on, come on, come on. Do that. Do that. Acts 14:9. This 3 minutes is not correct. Remember, you used my 4 minutes to do. You have to adjust it. And then there's interest. Can I take extra 5 minutes? Extra 5 minutes, is that okay? Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything? Okay, Acts 14:9. The same heart, Obika, could you please help me correct it a little bit? Add extra five for me. I'll back. The same heart Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him. Paul was preaching, like I'm preaching to you. Then this person was, then Paul began to look at this man, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived now that he had faith to be what? Is he healed now? No. Not yet. But he has faith to be healed. And Paul said, you had the faith, now show it to God. Let go, see it. Act. The same thing the Lord said to that woman, get up, or never. Paul said, the same had Paul speak, you are hearing me now. Thank you. You are hearing me now speak. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving, wow, this man believes this thing now. Then the next verse, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And the man leaped. The man didn't stand. The man leaped. And when he leaped, he walked. You have to put action to what you say you believe. Praise the Lord. That woman said, Lord, I can't. And Jesus said, well, you stay. You stay. You stay. You got to rise now or never. You stay like that forever. And Paul said, you have faith to be here. Show it to God now. Rise up. And God says, wow. Because when you believe, you are justified. We are justified by faith only. When you believe, you are justified. You are not justified until you believe. It's your faith that brings the justification to experience it. The Bible said Abraham received it because he believed God. How did he show it? Now, let me, a couple of things and I close. Now, if I received healing, amen, I was sick and I received healing, what are the things you think, if you're watching me, that can prove to me that, yeah, you really believe what you're saying that you're receiving? What action? You are thanking God. Now, let me ask you a question. I asked this on Wednesday. Brethren, this is my brother here, Brother God. If I come and pay up your mortgage, for instance, and people see you, do you think they will notice something happened? How would they notice? Your face will... And then will your friends get to know you? You tell your wife now. Ijoma, you say, Ijoma, you can't believe this. Our mortgage has been paid. I say, no, it's not. You say, yes, it's been paid. No. It's been paid, I'm telling you. The next thing is, pray. Right? Supposing he comes to you and says, you know, my mortgage has been paid. This world is hard, though. And walks away. Will you believe him? No. What betrayed the lie in that language is his action. You say you've been healed. There's no excitement. There's no joy. You're not celebrating it. You don't believe what you're saying. You don't believe it at all. No. Nobody receives something that is this awesome without being excited. Nobody. You see mama here. He ran to me and said, Pastor, I want to tell the world. God healed me again. I said, that's it. That's it. The praise, the excitement. Abraham would thank God every day for Isaac. He didn't see. The man was excited about it. Very excited about it. You say you've been healed? Yeah. Show it. Oh, yeah, Pastor. I'm believing God, sha. I'm just believing God, sha. You know, I hear things like that. I don't even respond. Because I know you believe nothing. Because your actions are betraying you. There's no excitement. There's no testimony out of your mouth. Didn't you read the Bible? He said, because we have the spirit of faith, we speak. We speak because we believe. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord. You are not saying so because you don't believe it. All this I believe is just you are doing naso de talker. It won't work for you. No. Praise the Lord. When I went to marry my wife, she almost told the whole world. Very handsome man came to marry me. And up to now, she's still excited, telling the whole world, look at her. Are you getting my point here? If there's no praise, there's no faith. Case closed. You can't tell me God gave me something and I'm not excited. You don't know what I'm talking about. If I believe it, you will know it from my action. You will see it from my excitement. You will, when I praise God, even if it's in my room, I'm going to say, Lord, wow, you healed me. To God be the glory. I'll be thanking God. And my wife will come walking and look at your husband and say, whoa, something happened to you. Yes, now he healed me. Glory. And then my actions will show it. You know, the Lord told me, he said, many people, when they pay tithe, they don't receive anything. He said, they pay tithe in doubt. They don't pay it in faith. He said, they give me things like schoolboy. He said, they don't do it in faith. He said, whatever is not of faith is sin. It's not going to work. He said, you don't pay tithe out of obligation. I don't want to force you to give me things. I love a cheerful gift. Bring it with a heart of faith that I blessed you. Lord, this is yours. And with thanksgiving and with excitement, he said, and see what will happen. Praise the Lord. And then the other thing is, you see, in Israel, God said to Israel, bring all your tithes in my storehouse and I will what? Rebuke. In this covenant, he's not rebuking any devourer for you. You are the one to do that. No. He said to Israel, see, when I see this blood, I will stay the hand of the devourer for you. Right? And when Jesus came, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been, and he turned the whole thing to you. And said, now in my name, you can now deal with them. And whatsoever you disallow, it's now disallowed. So you can disallow the devourer now. Why? I'm in you. Walking in you to will and to do my good pleasure. So if you allow the devourer, they'll eat your lunch and dinner. But you can rise up and say, no, you don't have anything here. This is my jubilee. I don't cross this boundary. Brethren, draw the line. Stop them at your gate. And they will not enter there. Let's rise up.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.